We covered a lot today. If you missed any minute of what you want to hear or want to hear it again, or you're waiting for, head to WWL.com, click audio, and find this show. Stream a specific segment, catch the full episode, or browse any past shows whenever it is convenient for you. Back here on WWL Sports Talk, getting ready to get into our fantasy frenzy. You're going to have a weekly segment during this football season, getting you ready for your fantasy football drafts right now. And then we'll be talking a lot during the season, obviously, about roster management, of course, waiver wire additions. Andrew Erickson, a football analyst for Fantasy Pros, will be joining us shortly. Looking at some of the black and gold news that we want to get into during training camp. Obviously, the big news is going to be tomorrow, the joint workout going on with those LA Rams leading into Saints preseason game number 2 in SoFi Stadium on Saturday, a 3 p.m. kickoff. You can catch right here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app, a 3 p.m. start. Welcoming in now Andrew Erickson, football analyst with Fantasy Pros, to the radio huddle. Andrew, how's it going, man? I know this time of year has got to be exciting for you as well, with everybody's fantasy drafts kicking off about right now. Some folks have even gotten underway already.
I mean, if you're like a degenerate like myself, you've been drafting teams since after the Super Bowl. So we are ready to rock and roll here. Super excited. This is the best time to be a football fan, fantasy football player. And yeah, I've been trying to get everybody ready for their drafts and so they can crush it this year.
Now, when you say you've been drafting teams already, this has just got to be mock drafts. You're not doing actual league drafting yet, are you?
Oh, no. There are ways that you can draft all sorts of teams at any time. You can draft before free agency. With best ball is a newer format where basically you'll draft teams and they'll automatically set their lineups every single week. So it helps me a lot because during the season, I'm obviously very busy trying to help people set their lineups. And if I do a lot of these best ball drafts, well, I don't have to do any in-season management and it just takes care of all the guys that I drafted. So, yeah.
Love it, man. Yeah, to me, you know, this time of year, I'm so anxious to get into things and obviously doing a ton of mock drafts, getting ready for my fantasy football draft. But if you do them early before the preseason ends, I feel like you risk, you know, the injury issues. And we've seen a bunch of players going down so far, and it can be a real damper on guys who, you know, you've already selected for your money league, and all of a sudden they're on the shelf or dealing with serious injuries during training camp.
Yeah, it is very, very tough. It's a reminder of how brutal that this game can be, but you got to adjust. You got to pivot. That's why we have things like the waiver wire, and you can be active on that. So, again, the fantasy football draft is obviously a very important part of your season. That's where you build the foundation. But we all know your team is going to churn and burn throughout the year. The injuries aren't going to stop. So you have to be proactive on the waivers, making trades, improving your roster strength, trying to get over those weaknesses. So it's just part of the process, part of the game. Hopefully we get some less injuries happening sooner, but until then, we'll just have to deal with it.
Saints fans would agree with that, with, you know, less injuries a lot sooner. We're dealing with Jordan Tyson over here currently with that hamstring issue. A lot of expectations for the 8th overall pick in the NFL draft. And now we know he's going to be on the shelf for at least 2 months dealing with that hamstring issue. Does that frighten you totally from taking him in an NFL, in a fantasy football draft? Or are you kind of putting him obviously then into the later rounds? Or just, do you leave him undrafted and leave him to the waiver wire?
I think it does depend a little bit on your league format. If you only have a couple bench spots, it's really tough to hold on to a player that's injured. Yeah. I would say that during the beginning of the season, you have your roster at its healthiest. So you should be able to kind of get by even if you're not able to play Tyson. I would also say, too, a lot of leagues have IR spots. So Jordan Tyson, to me, would be the first guy I would draft, put him in my IR spot, and then you can really pick somebody else up off the waivers when the first waiver run happens in your league. So I think IR spot leagues, he definitely is still very much in play because we know that the type of impact he could have. I know that I was reading reports about him potentially being the best player on offense for the New Orleans Saints this year. So obviously that's going to be something that might happen in the future now, right, because of the injury. But I don't think you can just completely cross him off your board because of the injury. You're going to get a discount on him. And if he's on your bench, you want to load your bench up with players that could become indispensable on your lineups. And a healthy Jordan Tyson, that's that guy. He can be an indispensable part of your lineup, and that's what you really should be focusing with your bench players, not guys that are like, oh, like maybe he can crack my lineup, like he's depth. That's overrated. You want guys that could be potentially elite, and I think a healthy Tyson fits that box.
Just looking overall, how are you building your rankings at this time of year? Like, what are the biggest things that maybe have shifted in the last couple of weeks of training camp as it's been rolling on?
Yeah, I mean, just adjusting to all of the injuries that have been kind of taking place, moving guys up and down tiers. Obviously, the biggest injury news today was Houston Texans second-year wide receiver Jaden Higgins going down with a torn ACL. So he's going to miss the entire season. So that moves up some of the other Texans players. Nico Collins gets a little bump up as one of the top-tier wide receivers to draft. Dalton Schultz, the tight end, now kind of enters that late-round tight end conversation, similar to like what we saw with the Tyson injury to Juwan Johnson. Now I think Juwan Johnson is one of the premier late-round tight end targets. Last year, I believe that he was third in receiving yards amongst tight ends, and he goes nowhere near tight end three across the board. So he is emerging to me as one of my favorite players to grab late, especially at tight end, because he's a proven producer in this Kellen Moore offense, and it's really just him and Chris Olave as the established receivers, obviously Devon Vele as well. But that's kind of what I've been up to, is trying to adjust the rankings to all these injuries, trying to move guys up, move guys down, based on the aftermath and the impact of those guys missing time.
Andrew, curious too, do you have like a preferred approach to, say, a typical 12-team PPR draft this year? I know a lot of folks like zero running back, hero running back, or even something in the middle. It seemed like early on in fantasy, it was always you wanted to draft those premier running backs early on. But a lot nowadays, I feel like even the going heavy in the wide receiver realm, those star guys, is a big plus as well.
I think that this year, the running backs are definitely the number one priority early in drafts. You'll find that a lot of rooms that you'll be in, a lot of mocks that you do, you're going to see a lot of running backs go off the board pretty quickly. That's because we've had a really great influx of talent at the position, obviously headlined by the top two guys, Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson, who typically will usually go 1-2 in every single fantasy football draft. But as the first round trickles on, you have more players like Jonathan Taylor, James Cook, and then even in the second round, you're seeing players like Ken Walker, Ashton Jeanty, Marion Hampton, and then obviously Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey, older players, but still guys that you think if they can stay healthy are going to deliver top end types of fantasy seasons. So I think that you need to get a running back within your first two rounds. I do think that receiver is in play if you can get one of these alpha guys, whether it's Chase, Puka, St. Brown, JSN, those types of players. But I find myself really feeling much worse about my rosters if I don't have a running back within the first two rounds. And then part of that reason too is when you're drafting the receivers in the middle rounds, you like those receivers much more than the running backs do.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're kind of reaching a little bit. You're making a play where you're not exactly sure, okay, how do I feel about this running back? You're really more like filling the void of, oh, I need a running back, let me grab one here, when you're much better off drafting wide receivers in that particular range. And then with tight end as well, there's a lot of late round tight end options. So I love the talent of Bowers. I love the talent of Colson Loveland, two guys that kind of go rounds 2, 3, 4. But typically I found myself, if I don't end up getting with one of those guys, waiting at tight end and then also waiting at quarterback. Like, that's when I definitely feel very confident. It's like the late round quarterback approach. Late round quarterback hits every single year. And there's just another great, there's just so much depth at the position that you don't, again, I got nothing against Josh Allen, but I'm not drafting him because he's the first quarterback off the board and he goes in round 3. Like, that's just the case against Josh Allen, when I can get guys like a Trevor Lawrence. I can get a Bo Nix is a QB 15. He's been quarterback 7 in back-to-back season. So there's just so much value on the board at quarterback. So that's kind of my typical strategy. You want to hit running back early, receivers in the middle rounds, and then go late round quarterback.
curious your thoughts on a wide receiver we all care about here. Was it with LSU, still wearing purple with the Minnesota Vikings, Justin Jefferson. I know he's still going to be a first-round pick, but how high in draft should folks be targeting him, considering obviously last year had issues at the quarterback situation in Minnesota? This year, is Kyler Murray the answer over there? I guess it's going to be a wait-and-see approach, but how are you feeling about Jefferson's stock going into this season?
Yeah, Jefferson was a player I very much wanted to buy the dip on him entering the season based on, you know, the performance last year with J.J. McCarthy. Obviously, that won't be the quarterback under center in 2026, at least to start the season. And you got to remember, when Carson Wentz was playing, Jefferson was still very productive. You know, he's been productive with basically every single quarterback he's played with except for J.J. McCarthy. So I do expect there to be a bounce back of some way, shape, or form with Kyler Murray. However, to the extent of where Jefferson goes, because, yeah, he is still a first-round pick. So you still feel like you're not really getting a discount on Jefferson because of what happened last year. We're all just kind of erasing it, forgetting about it, when Kyler Murray still has a lot to prove. You know, he wasn't the best quarterback for his fantasy receivers in Arizona at times. You know, Trey McBride famously could never catch touchdowns until Kyler Murray never was no longer the quarterback, and then he just went on a scoring bonanza. So I do think that anytime you have a quarterback receiver that's a new duo, it's a new pairing that invites a lot of risk. I find myself going in the running back direction more often than not than Jefferson, and I still like guys like CeeDee Lamb and Jefferson. I know Lamb has a little bit more competition with George Pickens, but I mean, we've seen Lamb and Dak Prescott operate at a high level. Like, there's no concern about, oh, are these guys going to be good together? Like, we know that they can play at an elite level. So I side with, like, the CeeDee Lamb part of that conversation. And if you're going to bet on a quarterback wide receiver pairing, I mean, I hate to be a homer, but, like, I'm really excited about A.J. Brown this year with Drake May entering his third season. I mean, who would you rather have throwing you the ball, Drake May or Kyler Murray?
That was going to be my question as I hop in here, because you have A.J. Brown in your top 10, I believe, with ADP. That stands for average draft position, for those who don't know. But his average seems to be around like the 25 level or something like that. So why are you specifically so much higher on A.J. Brown compared to the rest of the fantasy community?
I think that we're concerned about maybe a little bit of the fall off last year with the Philadelphia Eagles, when I credit that fall off in production to the lack of Eagles passing efficiency last year. The Eagles offense was a mess last year. And when they actually did feature AJ Brown after he came back from his hamstring injury, you know, he was a wide receiver 3 in points per game from weeks 11 through 16. So I think that he is now in a position where highly motivated, reunited with Mike Vrabel. They traded a first round pick to get him. He's clearly going to get volume. That was the biggest thing with him in some of these Philadelphia Eagles game scripts, where he just wasn't getting any targets. He wasn't getting enough volume. Whereas I didn't think his fall off in terms of watching him. I mean, I was at Patriots training camp today watching AJ Brown, and that guy looked as advertised, did not look lost whatsoever, was making plays through contact. They were moving him around the formation. So they weren't just sticking him out at X and okay, just go and get open. No, like, he is motivated. He's ready to go. I think he has a sky-high ceiling, especially attached to Drake May. And an offense that's going to throw the ball a lot. The Patriots ranked 4th in pass rate over expectation last year. Drake May is an ascending. I think AJ Brown got a quarterback upgrade going from Jalen Hurts to Drake May. May entering his third season. And Josh McDaniels, we've seen Josh McDaniels pepper his alpha wide receivers in the past, whether it was Brandon Marshall in the Denver Broncos or Devontae Adams with the Las Vegas Raiders. So if you're going to give AJ Brown 150 targets attached to Drake May, that is a top 5 level ceiling, and that's why I'm so high on AJ Brown.
Talking with Andrew Erickson, fantasy football analyst for Fantasy Pros, joining us here on WWL. Andrew, looking at some guys, what's a one player maybe that you're highest on relative to their average draft position that you kind of just keep taking in the mock drafts you're doing?
Yeah, I think that the best litmus test for how you feel about a player is how pissed you get when you don't get them.
Gotcha.
Right? It's not about the must-have players. It's about the, oh my God, I'm so angry I didn't get this player because I tried to push it, or I let him go to the next round thinking I could get him. That player for me this year is the Ravens wide receiver, Zay Flowers.
Okay.
So he is someone that I have right on the wide receiver 1 fringe. He just got paid by the Baltimore Ravens. And I just like what I've seen from him from a consistency standpoint. He's gotten better every single year of his NFL career. And last year, over 1,200 yards, 86 catches. The thing that has been eluding him up to this point has been the touchdowns, right? He only had 6 total touchdowns last year. But once we get this floor established with Zay Flowers, I think there's another ceiling for him with a new offensive play caller coming in. I think there's a chance that they use Zay Flowers a little bit more in the red zone. I mean, when you look at what he did last year in terms of how efficient he was 4th in yards per route run, only behind Puka Nacua, Jackson Smith and Jigba, and Luther Burden. And obviously Burden did on a much smaller sample size. He also saw a 28% target share, which ranks 5th in the NFL. So when you look at all the advanced metrics for Zay Flowers, he ranks top 5 across the board, except for touchdowns. Like, every other receiver that had 1,200 receiving yards last year had 8 touchdowns. Zay Flowers was the only one that did. So if we can just get some positive touchdown regression, which we know that what indicates touchdowns or predicts touchdowns is yards, catches, targets. If he's doing all those other things, eventually he's going to just explode in terms of production. So I think the Ravens were smart to get ahead of it, because I think he's in for another big season as he continues to progress throughout his NFL career. And the fact that you get him around like end of round 3, round 4 even, I think it's such a layup. I think worst case scenario, he just does exactly what he's been doing. But if he gets some touchdowns, I think we could talk about Zay Flowers as a 1-2 turn pick next year.
Yeah, you mentioned that. A guy for me that I'm upset if I don't get in these mock drafts usually is running back for the Chargers, Omarion Hampton. Curious how you feel about him. Should I be worried, though, about, you know, some of the other running backs there, like Kamani Vidal and Keaton Mitchell in the mix? But I just got to feel that Jim Harbaugh's offense definitely going to pound the rock a lot.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to describe it, because as exciting as Keaton Mitchell the idea could be in a Mike McDaniel offense, I think that you look at Hampton and what he can do as a physical runner. What are they going to do when they're up on some of these teams? You look at the Chargers' schedule. They open the year against the Cardinals and the Raiders. I'm pretty sure they're favored by like 10.5 points in week 1 against the Cardinals. Now, I can't say whether they're going to cover that spread or not, but that is at least suggesting that Omarion Hampton is going to be playing with a positive game script. So I think that Hampton, yes, it feels kind of like exciting, exhilarating, kind of terrifying to take him where he goes right in the middle of round 2. But the upside that he could deliver as a former first-round pick, was efficient last year, obviously missed time because of his injuries. The Chargers overall had some injuries, and the Chargers are dealing with more injuries now. We saw Tyler Biadasz, their starting center, go down, so that's another kind of thing to be concerned about. But the fact that his matchups are so good to start the year, there is a chance where if he comes out on the gates on fire, you could always look to sell high on him as we get into the season. But I think for now, I think there's reasons to be bullish on Omarion Hampton, and I'm not so concerned about there being a potential committee, because Mike McDaniel's been pretty clear. If Omarion Hampton's balling out, that dude's going to get the rock. And we know that Harbaugh, like you said, likes to run the football, ground and pound. That's Hampton's game.
Andrew, always great stuff hearing from you, man. Look forward to even more. Tell us about Fantasy Pros, what folks can find on there. I know Draft Wizard is an awesome tool to work with.
Yeah, we got it all, everything covered to get you ready for your fantasy football drafts, from the Draft Wizard, from the Draft Assistant, which you can sync up, which can help you draft your team live when the bullets are flying. You can have the Draft Assistant help you kind of guide the path. And we also have Draft Intel, which is another new feature that we've been highlighting. Draft Intel can tell you what your league mates' tendencies are.
Huh.
So you sync up your league, it looks at your history based on how many years you've been in the league, and it can tell you, oh yeah, this guy here, he always drafts a receiver in round 5. That stuff is so critical to have that information, especially when you're drafting your team. If you know what your opponents are going to do before they do, that's a massive edge, because you know exactly how you can manipulate the board. You can address certain positions, wait on other positions. So that's a thing that's part of the whole offering that we have our Fantasy Pros. We have a 3-day free trial. So go check that out over on the website, fantasypros.com. Also download the app, Fantasy Pros. You can find that on the Google Play Store, also on the Apple Store. And also find me, Andrew Erickson, over on fantasypros.com as well. I'm also at @AndrewErickson_ on X.
Love it, man. Play fantasy chess with Fantasy Pros. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Andrew Erickson joining us on our Fantasy Friends Frenzy. We're going to have this every Wednesday, folks, at 7:25 during the preseason and going into the season as well, getting you locked in for your fantasy football rosters. Taking a break, coming back with more sports talk right after this. Keep it locked on WWL Saints Radio.